It's unbelievable.
Good morning. This is a topic that Dr. Lyons actually gave me some reading material on many years ago. This goes back a few years, and I kept it safe in my files. Unlike most things that I just lose, but this I've been keeping safe. The topic is davening and relating to tzaddikim, those who are no longer in Olam Hazeh, going to a kever of a tzaddik, asking for a bracha, these types of inyanim. There's one line in this article, one of the Jewish publications, where it speaks about inyanei diyoma, the experience of Jews across the world on Lag BaOmer, where the line is, secular Israelis in search of salvation, seminary students traversing the country, American businessmen loath to close a big deal before seeking Rabbi Shimon's approval, all pour out their hearts near the ancient kever of the Tana, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Seeking to approve Rabbi Shimon's approval. Okay. All right, so there's a lot of these types of lines that strike you as strange. You know, the notion of going to a kever, what am I supposed to have in mind? Am I speaking to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai? Am I asking him to do something on my behalf? Am I searching for Yeshua, Refuah, Parnasa, Hatzlacha? Right. Generally, the Hashkafas HaTorah is we turn to Hashem for these types of things, right? So what's the whole idea of going to Kever and turning towards Tzaddikim in general, La'achar Mosam? So we have a few Gemaras that speak about these types of things. A famous Gemara in Sota and Daf Lamed Daled, where it speaks about the Meraglim, and Rava teaches us, Malamed Sheperish Kolev Me'atzas Meraglim, V'holach V'nishtatach Al Kivrei Avos. That Kolev actually left the group of the Meraglim, and he went to bow down by the Kivrei Avos, the Marasa Machpelah and Chevron. Amar Lehen, and Kolev said to the Avos, Avosai, Bikshu alai rachamim she'natzel me'atzas meraglim. Literally that means, daven for me that I should be saved from the plot of the meraglim. So here we have a scenario where Kolev, who was obviously a tzaddik and understood how things work in Olam Hazeh, in Olam Haba, in our relationship to those who are no longer in Olam Hazeh, he went to the Kivrei Avos, and he was speaking to them, Avosai Bikshu Alei Rachmim, and he was asking them to daven on his behalf. We have a Gemara in Tainis on Daf Tazayin, where it goes through the process of what to do when there's a lack of rain, what kind of tefillah, what kind of tainus. And at one point it speaks about going out to the Beis HaKavaros. And the question the Gemara brings up is, Lama Yotzin the Beis HaKavaros? Why was that part of the process? What were we trying to do by going to the cemetery on a fast day? So Pligi Ba, Rabbi Levi Bar Chama, Rabbi Chanina. We find the debate. One explained the idea is because when we're going through a drought, then it's as if we are mesim. And it would seem the basic shot here is we're doing this almost as a musar behispailus, you know, bringing out the idea that we're in such a dire situation and we need Yeshua Hashem, Geherafayans. That's why we go to a basic Kvaros. V'chad Amar, but the other opinion says the reason we go to the basic Kvaros is Kedei Shiyavakshu Aleinu Mesim Rachamim, is in order that not only should we daven, but we want the Mesim to daven on our behalf as well. My Beinaihu, what's the difference between these two ideas as to why we go to a base of Kavaros, Ike Benayu, Kivrei Nachrim? The nafkamina would be if it was a cemetery of Einam Yehudim. So if the whole reason is it's more of a emotional, psychological experience, we want to make real how shver, how difficult things are, and we're saying to ourselves, Onu chashuvim lefanecha kamesim, doesn't make a difference what kind of cemetery it is. If the main goal, though, is sheyevakshu aleinu mesim rachamim, so then obviously I have to go to a Jewish cemetery. Okay. Rabbi Lyons told me, no, it was Rabbi Rabowski. He told me a great line. He said that he was speaking to a funeral director about a particular cemetery, and he said, it's not really a Jewish cemetery. You just have dead Jews buried there. But it's not a Jewish cemetery. Anyway, so you could imagine there's a lot of discussion how to understand these Gemaras, how to understand this idea of turning towards Mesim and asking them to daven on our behalf. And the Gesher HaChaim, which is the Sefer composed by Rav Yechiel Michal Tukachinsky, Zecher Tzadik V'Kodesh Levracha, V'Schuso Yogein Aleinu V'Nomar Omeid. So he has a lot of very fascinating ideas in this Sefer, Halacha, of Avelus and Shiva and Yartzeit and all these types of Inyanim, and also a lot of powerful Hashkafa. So he has a chapter here, Perek Chavav, Gematria Shem Hashem, where he speaks about this idea of davening to Mesim, and he explains, Hine, Elu Hashotim, Hatzoakim Lemesim, Vidorshim Mechua Mehem. Those fools who basically scream out to the Mesim, and they're looking for Yeshua from them. Levad Meisha Ovrim al Vidoresh al Hamesim. First of all, they're in violation of an Isra Deraisa of Doresh al Hamesim, which usually refers to trying to get information or inside knowledge from those who are no longer alive. What they call in Yiddish, a Ouija board. Okay. So you're in violation of Doresh al Hamesim. And you're also in violation of Lo Yil Lecha Elohim Acherim Al Panai. You're not allowed to believe in any other gods. Why are you in violation of the second of the Ten Commandments by Tzoakim Lemesim V'Dorshim Chua Mehem? Because you're basically assuming or believing that there's some kind of independent power in the world besides HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even if the kever I'm standing by is the kever of a very righteous man, to feel that he can choose to do anything independently on my behalf, that's a avodah zarah, plain and simple. V'chol ikar havichuchim hu. So says the Gesher HaChaim. What's the whole debate we find amongst the Rishonim and the Poskim? Imuter ledaber el hames. Levakesh meito shehu yispalel v'yamlitz ba'adeinu la'kodesh baruch hu. Is one allowed to turn to a mace? I'm not davening to you. I'm not shouting and being doresh you to help me. But I'm asking you to daven on my behalf to Hashem, and only Hashem could help me. Oh, shegam ze osur. Or maybe even this is inappropriate. It's osur. V'tzrichet nispalel rak la'kodesh baruch hu. And the only thing we're allowed to do is daven to Hashem. Nothing more, nothing less. And even to ask Mesim to daven on my behalf, that would not be okay. That's the entire vikuach. That's the discussion, that's the machlokas. But to turn towards the Mesim themselves, assuming they have any independent force, is a violation of two esurei deraisa, doresh al ha-Mesim and believing in Elohim Acherim. That's the Gesher HaChaim. Yeah.
Is the debate we had here similar to the debate we have by Slichos? Like, are we daven to the angels? We daven to the
Yitzchak, you are incredible. You know, were mamish incredible. Mamish mechavein to Ramosha Feinstein. Zecher tzadik v'kodesh levracha v'schus so yogin aleinu v'noimer.
Amen!
Mamish mechavein to Ramosha. Take a look here on page 2. Hashkacha pratas, we have that Ramosha right here. Look at this. The title is Imutu lelechas lekivri avos v'kivri tzadikim be'es tzora levakish rachamim. Is one allowed to go to the kivrei tzadikim or avos at the time of need? V'amiras haslichos d'malachei rachamim umidas rachamim aleinu hisgalgali. And this is also going to discuss whether or not we're allowed to say those particular slichos, where it sounds like we're turning to the malachim and we're asking them to work on our behalf. Says R' Moshe Feinstein, very bottom right. Regarding elu ha'ochlim be'ez tzara l'kavuras avoseihem l'kavuras ha'tzadikim levakish rachamim me'ashem yizbarach. Regarding those who go to kivrei tzadikim at a time of need to request compassion from Hashem. Im yesh b'zeh mishum doresh el ha'mesim. Is there a violation of doresh el ha'mesim? Now, I do want to say parenthetically, putting aside asking a mace to do something for me, how about just having a conversation with someone who's no longer an Olam Hazeh? Is there any problem with Dorish al HaMesim? And the answer is no. There's no problem whatsoever. There's actually a few blot in the Gemara and Brachos that speak about what level Yediyah do Mesim have regarding what's happening in Olam Hazeh. Right, a very interesting discussion, and that could really be a whole Sunday morning shir unto itself. Rav Chaim Goldstein happened to compose that Gemara. But very, very fascinating discussion, right? What level of Yediyah do the Mesim have? And the notion that I'm able to speak to a korov, to a parent, to a sibling who's no longer an Olam Hazeh, that's something we very much believe in, and there's no problem halachically with that. Here the main focus is, if I'm asking for something, then you have this issue of Darish El Mesim, or even some level of Avodah Zarah potentially. So Rav Moshe quotes a shach in Yeridei Kufay in Tes, Shemevi, he brings from a tshuva of the Merach, Shemefakvik v'zeh, who was uncertain, he wasn't so comfortable with this minig. V'habach, at the end of Reish Yud Zayin, she'ein iser b'davar. The Bach was of the opinion there's no problem of going to kivrei tzadikim and being mevakesh rachamim. Then Rav Moshe says, we do find in the piyutim and the slichos that we are mevakshim l'malachim she'yispal l'vareinu. We ask the angels to daven for us. Right, like the piyut of Malachei Rachamim. So Chazina and Sheika Machlokas. L'maisa, we see there is a debate here. De Bali ha-piyutim shayu gam kein gedola Yisrael. Those who authored the piyutim, these are not just random ancient poems we happen to have in our literature. These were authored by gedola Yisrael. Harei tiknu v'henhigu lomer kein, and they felt it was okay to say Malachei Rachamim, to turn to the angels and ask them to bring our tefillah to Hashem. Aval harbe mi rabbeinu achronim osrim zeh. However, lemaisa, we do find many of the achronim who said that this kind of tefillah is osir. He quotes from the famous Chasam Sofer the Tshuva, where he brings them from the Meralmi Prague, Shemien lomer piyud machnisei rachamim beslichos, that the Meral himself did not say that piyut of Malachei Rachamim. He felt that it is inappropriate. How do you turn to angels and ask them to do something on your behalf? We don't daven to Malachim. What is the fifth of the Yud Gimel Ikrim? So those who remember the mnemonic in the ladies' shir.
Five.
Oh, very good. Five rhymes with hive, and the beehive produces honey, and you only thank Hashem for honey. It's brilliant, right? It's actually absurd, but I heard this when I was 13 years old, and I still remember it, so obviously it works. Okay, so number five in the Yud Gimel Ikrim is that we only turn to Hashem for tefillah and not to any other source, including tzaddikim or malachim. And that's where the Chassam Sofer and the Maral seem to be coming from. Yeah.
What do you say Yaakov Avinu was referring to when he said that Allah has royalty?
Oh, that's a great question. Ramosha actually speaks about that as well. Where Yaakov has this struggle with the Malach, and he says, Barcheni. He asked the Malach for a bracha. Oh, so let's take a look over here. This is on page 2 in that Ramosha. So he quotes from the Ramban, about 6 lines from the bottom. Kidehevi Ramban bepirusha b'chumash and parshas v'yishlach, al hakro damra malach liyakov, lama zet tishar l'shmi. Right, we have this very strange back and forth, where Yaakov asked the Malach, what's your name? And the response was, Lamaze Tisha Lishmi, why are you asking my name? So the Ramban explains, Ein lecha b'yedi yishmi toelis. You knowing my name will not be of any benefit to you. Ki ein hakoach v'yecholis bilti la'ashem levado. Because you should know, Yaakov, that only a Kadosh Baruch Hu can control and be mashpia. And therefore, don't call out to me if you ever have a tzara. Right, that's like when you call the doctor's office, you know. If you're presently experiencing a medical emergency, please dial 911 immediately. Right? That's the Malach said to Yaakov. If you're ever experiencing an emergency, dial Hashem, don't speak to me, I can't help you. Shelechein ala davar shenishtalchu hamalachim, we have different malachim that have different tasks and different roles. However, we're only shluchim of Hashem. And that was actually the response of the angel to Yaakov. He doesn't bring it here, but that's also a discussion when we sing Shalom Aleichem Friday night. What's the third paragraph? Right, how do you ask the angels? Shkoyach, thank you. Okay, shkoyach. How could you ask the angels to give a bracha, right? And that's why some people actually leave out that paragraph. Now, those who say that paragraph, I'm just curious. By a show of hands, does anyone not say that paragraph?
My father doesn't.
Really? Interesting.
You don't say those words exactly, of course.
Oh, so what do you say, Rabbi Yisrael? Beautiful. So those who say what's in the NCSY Bencher, right? The basic pshat is that we assume we're not asking the Malachim for a bracha coming from them independently, but they're basically serve as your role, as shluchim from Hashem to give that bracha to us. But that's the basic idea here. Rav Moshe continues. Take a look at page 3. This is towards the bottom of the right. Ach le'odom shemes. So this whole discussion that we find in the language of the Piyutim, and that we have the Chassam Sofer and the Maral, who are not a fan of saying those Piyutim, that's all regarding speaking to angels. However, if you're speaking to a human being that passed away, Shikvar lo shayach shu yispalo. So a human being, once he's no longer in Olam Hazeh, it's not possible to daven. Ella shenishmoso shehi beginze meromim shayech shetispalel over elu achayim. However, the neshama can still daven for those who are alive. Shele elu desoven de malachim aser. According to those who say we're not allowed to ask malachim to daven for us, yeish leayin im gam lebnei adam shemesu aser. Do we assume that davening to angels is the same discussion as davening to someone who passes away? So Rav Moshe is saying, lav dafka. It might be, right, conceptually, you would hold, you could never turn to a malach to daven for you, but maybe to ask a human being who was nifter to daven for you, maybe that would be okay. And vice versa, he says. Right? Maybe if you're of the opinion, like the author of these piyutim, that you're allowed to ask angels to bring your tefillah to Hashem, maybe that's dafka malachim. But to turn to a person who's no longer alive, you can't ask him or her to daven for you. Ramosha says there could be chilukim, there could be distinctions. He says this is why we do find a machlokus in the poskim, the rishonim and the achronim, as to whether or not it's appropriate, both regarding angels and regarding human beings. Can someone tell me, if you were of the opinion of the Chassam Sofer, of the Maral, that you can't ask angels to daven for you, why would turning to Kivrei Tzadikim be any different? Why would that be better, potentially, in Hashkafa?
Like I come to a live tzaddik.
What's that?
What about going to a live tzaddik?
Oh, Sir Moshe does speak about that also. He brings that.
How about would you compare it? Would it be more comparable to that?
Oh, meaning that when a person is alive, getting a bracha or having him daven for you, that's something that we know to be true. Right? We know that to be powerful. We have Chazal that speak about going to a Talmud Chacham to daven on your behalf. So Reb Chananel is suggesting maybe Kivrei Tzadikim are somewhat different than Malachim because when they were alive, it made sense to go to them to daven or to give you a bracha. So maybe Hu Adin when they're no longer alive.
We hold Lomes. That's Tzadikim Lomes.
Yaakov Avinu Lomes.
Tzadikim.
Is that what the Gemara in Tainus says on Daf Tes? Oh, so the Misasim Kurian Chayim, yes. Okay. So it's interesting distinction here that the bottom line is Ramosh is saying it could be that these two conversations are not dependent on each other. Yes?
Angels are more like otherworldly. They assume that they have some kind of...
Like, oh, that's an interesting angle as well. I mean, it could be if you're davening to an angel, that's way too close for comfort. That's basically a avodah zarah. Asking for a person to daven for you, you know, the Maisa, it's a human being. He's no longer alive, but it's okay.
I have a slightly different question. It's like, we have been Rachel and Rachel,
What's that?
Rachel?
Yeah. Yes.
Often.
Yes.
Right, so,
I heard banana before, yeah. So that's okay. I'm like, famous Kasha, yeah. The banana. I'm sorry. I'm like, what are you talking about?
that's like, there's a source, a pretty primary source that somebody that's passed away can intercede, ask for. I mean, there's maybe you can say, like, not okay to ask them to do that, but you even have to believe that they have the ability. So you go to the kever and you're like crying, telling the deceased what happened, and okay, if they want to go and intercede for you, let them do it.
So that happens to be a very, very important distinction, because you could argue, even if we believe that Mason can be a Melitz Yosher, right? And we say that all the time. That he should be a Melitz Yosher for the family, for Kalal Yisrael. So obviously we believe in the concept. However, you could argue, okay, whatever that means, Imrit Hashem, he'll be a Melitz Yosher. But maybe I'm not allowed to be Doresh anything from him. That's a violation of Doresh Ela Mesim. That's an Isser of Lo Yi L'cho Elohim Acherim, maybe. However, I just want to point out that what Dr. Sloan is saying, though, is to share your tzar with a mace, that's no problem whatsoever. And if somehow this aspect of the neshama that perhaps I'm closer to in the Beis HaKvaros will now be a greater Melitz Yosher because maybe they're more aware of the tzara that I'm experiencing, matova menayim, that would not be a problem bechalal. I mean, again, it's very important. Speaking to mesim, sharing your tzar or sharing your simcha is not at all hashkafically problematic. It's interesting. I had a conversation with one of my kids. They were saying they feel so bad that Nama, that my mother, is never going to see Yisachar. Right? The baby was born after she passed away. And so I said, you know, we believe that even when someone is no longer alive, they still get a lot of nachas and joy and simcha from their mishpacha, and every mitzvah we do elevates them. But then it dawned on me, what's not apikorsis is to be able to say, I feel bad that I'm not going to see my mother have that nachas. Right? I believe Be'emunah Shleima, we have this connection and we're giving her nachas. But I'm missing out because I would get pleasure seeing her get that pleasure and I'm not seeing that. Right? That's So it's really, what this discussion seems to be focused on is that idea Torah's Emes, or is that idea Apikorsis? Right. That's really the machlokas here, right? It's a yes. All right. Want to say something, Chaim? No? Okay. Now, it's interesting. If you take a look at the Mishnah Brura, where this is by Erev Rosh Hashanah, the Ramah says, Yesh mekomos nogim leilich al hakvaros, ulaharbo sham betechinos, venosnin sham tzedakalanim. There are some places where they have the custom to go in Erev Rosh Hashanah to the base of kvaros and to daven. So explains the Mishnah Berurah. Take a look here at Sivkatin Chaf Zayin, hakvaros. Debeis hakvaros hu mokom menuchos hatzadikim. Why would you go to the cemetery and pray? Why not go to the shul? All right, pretty morbid. Why are you going to the cemetery? Because Beis HaKavaros is Mokom Menuchos HaTzadikim. It's a place where tzadikim are buried, their final resting place, so to speak. V'hatfila niskab l'sham yoser. And one's prayer can be more accepted in that place. Ach, Al Yosim Agmaso Neged Hamesim. However, one should not be focused or channeling his intention to the Mesim. Ach Yevakesh Me Hashem Yisbarach Sheyitein Alav Rachamim B'schus HaTzadikim Shoch Neofar. And this might be similar to what Yosef was suggesting from Likutei Maran. Even if you were to say that I can't daven directly to tzaddikim, and I'm only davening to Hashem, but being in this place, being in a base of kvaros where there are so many righteous people, so then, in the schus of the tzaddikim, my tefillah will have more of a power. V'yakiv hakvuros v'itein tzedakom shiyem v'atchinos. Fine. But it's clear from the Mishnah Berurah, if you were to ask the Chafetz Chaim, based on what he says here at least, in Tav Kuf Pei Aleph, what side of the equation are you on? Right? When Rav Moshe has this Chakira, whether or not you're allowed to daven to Mesim, to daven on your behalf, it sounds like the Chafetz Chaim would say, don't do that. Daven directly to Hashem, and there's an Inyan that it's a Mokum Kadosh, that their schus can make the tefillah more powerful.
All the same thing applies to the Keruv of parents, the Keruv of right?
Oh, so when it comes to a Kever of a parent or any family member, so there we also believe, and he actually speaks about this in the Gesher Chaim as well, that it's not just the Indian of going to a Beis HaKavaros because you have tzaddikim who are buried there. Let's say, for example, one's parent is buried in a non-Jewish cemetery for whatever reason, right? They weren't from, And you could argue, maybe in this particular cemetery, I'm not sure, they're all tzaddikim. I don't know. But there's a whole different Indian of going to the kever of a relative, because that itself can bring some level of nachas ruach to the neshama. Right? So it's not just to get the schus for the tefillah. Now, Lemaisa, let's conclude here.
Is there an analogy that we don't know where Moshe is buried to avoid this?
That's a good question, and I think there is. Right? The idea behind HaKadosh Baruch Hu never allowing us to know the burial place of Moshe Rabbeinu is that we should never turn it into some kind of shrine. Mm-hmm. You know, it shouldn't be any kind of avodah zarah.
Right, it's probably to Hashem saying the kind of Marinini, the same thing or not necessarily.
So that might be a shir unto itself. Uh-oh, you have a... No problem, no problem. If anyone else wants a good excuse to leave, you could just say, Lakadra or Mayor Naini. Save me from the last part of the shir. What's that? The question is, this idea of Lakadra Mayor Naini, which I actually said yesterday, because I couldn't find my glasses. And then I found it, Baruch Hashem. But that could be for a different discussion as well. Okay, but let's finish up here for today. This is the Gesher Chaim on page 6. This is his own conclusion, which really seems to be kenege. This seems to be a different approach than the Mishnah Berurah. And we find here, really, you know, these two worlds amongst more of the Litvisha approach and more of the Hasidish approach. Says the Gesher Chai, Hayotzi midivereinu benogei levakish malachai shoreis. After discussing this whole topic, Elokadur Meir Neni. After discussing the whole topic, he says, regarding asking angels, the bottom line is that this is the text we have in the Slichos. This is something that has been done for hundreds of years, and many people do it. And therefore, ein limchos al minhag ha'olam sherubam omrim ha'techinos shel malachei rachamim u'midas ha'rachamim kadoma. There's no need to have any question or hesitation regarding the minhag ha'olam. If you have a particular mesorah going back to the Chasam Sofer, the Maral, where your minhag is not to say it, then don't say it. But that's something we accept to be normative practice. Then he says further, let's jump down here to Tess. Just like it's permissible to say these piyutim that are asking the malachim to bring our tefillos to Hashem, it's also permissible levakesh min nishmas hatzadik sheyamlitz ba'adenu, to turn to the neshama of a tzadik and ask him to be a melitz yosher. Kemefurish bezohar shemevakesh min nishmas hatzadik sheyamlitz. There's no concern of the violation of Doresh al Hamesim. He says it's similar to one who's Mevakesh Mikol Tzadik Chai Lehispalel Avuro. Just like we would never have any hesitation to go to a Tzadik who's alive and ask him to daven for us. The same thing is true for Nishmas HaTzadik Sheyamlitz Ba'adenu. Now at the very end of this piece, he quotes a tshuva from the Minchas Elazar. And in this particular tshuva, he shows from many different places in the Zohar that Al Pi Kabbalah, this is definitely something that we view as permissible and even encouraged to daven to a neshama of a tzaddik, that he should daven on your behalf. What emerges from this, though, is that if you look at the Chafetz Chaim, it sounds like he was not such a fan of this idea. His advice was only daven to Hashem. If you're davening to Hashem, you're in a place where there are tzaddikim, so that can make your tefillah more powerful, because you have the schus of the tzaddikim who are being mesayeya, who are assisting in this tefillah. But don't daven to the tzaddikim, even to ask them to bring your prayer to Hashem. The Gesher Chaim is concluding, right, based on more Kabbalistic sources, that he felt comfortable davening to the neshama of a tzaddik. However, the common theme, and this is so important, and this is why a line like this particular article has, that all pour out their hearts to Rabbi Shimon, that's a very misleading and dangerous statement. That's a statement where, if a person takes that at face value, likely you'll be in violation of Doresh al Hamesim and Lo Yilecha Elohim Acherim. Because we can't forget, even in the Gesher HaChaim, who's more liberal, so to speak, than the Chafetz Chaim, right? He still says, Elu HaShotim, Hatsoakim LeMesim V'Dorshim Etshua Mehem. If you turn to the Mesim themselves and you feel they have any independent power, that's Avodah Zarah. So it's a slippery slope, right? It requires Havchana to be able to make that healthy distinction in Hashkafa. We should be zoicha that the schus of the Rashbi should be yogin aleinu. Amen. And all of Klal Yisrael v'noimar, Amen. Amen.